One Hand Speaks. Here We Go, podcast 119. This is basically part 2 of 5, doing 5 podcasts in a row. And yesterday was called The Big Surprise, about this great little interaction that I had just a few days ago, living my one-handed life and being seen by kids for the first time. This podcast, number 119, is basically about me getting back on my bicycle. Yes, indeed. Now, if you know me and you've known me for a long time, you know that I love bicycles. And if you don't know that, you know that now. I'm just a huge bicycle fan. I grew up on bicycles. I grew up on them. And whenever I talk about how I started bicycling, I always, just in the recent years, think about the Boise Bicycle Project and what the owner there, Jimmy's doing. And he talks a lot about the freedom that comes with your first set of wheels. Now, I'm not talking about a car. I'm just talking about being a kid and having a bicycle and being able to expand where you went and what you did and who you hung out with. And it opens up so many doors at the age 6, 7, 8, 9. And I have some great early memories of myself riding to St. John the Baptist. Yes, I was born and raised Roman Catholic, 15 years private Catholic school. And I would ride my bicycle to school. That was one of my earliest memories. I had a girl's bike when I was really young. And there were some other things going on there. There were just whatever bicycles my family gave to me, and I would ride them to school. When I got a little bit older, I got into the BMX riding, BMX bicycles. And I had fantasies of going big air, tricks, jumps, flatland, all that stuff. Love all of it. Anything bicycle, one gear, I just adored. Now, it's a little hard without two hands, and I have a podcast about this giant jump that we built, and I'm pretty sure I was going to break the gravitational pull of the planet and land on the moon. But as soon as I pulled up on the jump, my artificial arm broke, and I took a hard fall. Wow. Yeah, I'll never forget that. I'll never forget that. And you know what? I just have great memories of bicycling, BMX riding with my friends, just growing up and riding around town and kicking it with Brian Smith and walking around and riding bikes and just doing things. Just that's how we got around. And where I grew up, that's people rode their bicycles a lot. And that probably went all the way up through high school. Spent a lot of time on those bikes. And then when I got to college, I actually got into road biking a bit. Acquired myself a really nice, really fast, really light road bike. And I think that might have lasted about 6 months. I thought I'd try something different. But I have another podcast about this. I hit this woman. I was late for work, and I was probably pretty close to sub-light speed. I mean, I was flying. And this woman walked out from behind an illegally parked truck, and she didn't even look. She just walked out in the middle of the road, walked out right in front of me. Now, in that moment, you got to listen to the podcast. In that moment, I figure, okay, I'm going to sacrifice myself, and I just threw my body to the left. I was like, I'm going down to save her, because there was no time to brake. It happened that fast. And then what did she do? She walked backwards right into me. Yeah, I pummeled her. Yeah, that's a great podcast. It is an unfortunate story, but it happened nonetheless. And that was the end of my road biking days. The bike was totaled. And it was about that time that I actually started getting into a little bit of mountain biking, actually, at Indiana University. And to this day, I mean, that was 1986, 84, 87. No, that was probably 1989. That's it. 1989. 1990, I acquired a Diamondback mountain bike. I still have the frame. I've been riding that for the last, I don't know, 22, 30 years, something like that. I mean, the last 15 years don't really count because I haven't really ridden a bicycle in about that amount of time. Occasionally, but so little. So little. But I still have that frame that Byron and I, can't remember Byron's name, but he was somebody I spent some time with in my last few months at Indiana University. But yeah, I started mountain biking at that time. It seemed to be the hot thing to do. Everybody was doing it, and I got myself a mountain bike, and then I just started riding it. And then the next thing you know, I am moving out to the University of Washington, transferred colleges out there, and you know, that was a big bicycling city in a number of ways. They had a lot of road bikers. They had a lot of mountain bikers. It's so beautiful in the backcountry out in the Pacific Northwest. And just a lot of commuters, like devoted bicycle commuters. And I spent a lot of time mountain biking in the Pacific Northwest region up there in Seattle, the Olympic National Forest. We used to go down near Evergreen College and do some great mountain biking. And it's really interesting because I only had one bicycle and I would have to change tires. Basically, I just took my slicks off and put on knobbies so I could go out and do some mountain biking. There's no suspension, nothing like that, just young and strong and tearing it up. But eventually, I stopped doing as much mountain biking and I spent more time using a bicycle as transportation. And then I started getting into slicks, and that was it. I pretty much became a devoted bicycle commuter. And I rode my bike to work every day to the chili parlor. I worked in the Pike Place Market for years, and I rode my bike every day. I rode my bike everywhere. And then even my good friends Niles and Stacy, we all biked a lot, especially Niles. Wow, this guy. That's how we got around. He had a car, but that we basically in Seattle, we got around on bicycles. And at that time, my good friend Drew had a bike shop, yeah, kind of out of his house, bottom bracket. He was trying to make something great happen. And you know who was living in his house at the time? Okay, let me tell you this story. Was this band called Sunny Day Real Estate? Because everybody was in a band at that time in Seattle. And these guys were hot. Man, they were hot. I'm telling you, they were just a few years after Soundgarden, Pearl Jam, Mudhoney, all those bands. Nirvana blew up. I moved to Seattle in 1991, early 1991. What a great time to be living in Seattle. The music scene was just so live. So everybody was in a band. We would ride our bikes to go see bands. And then I acquired this friendship with this guy named Drew who had a bike shop. Sure, why not? And then Sunny Day Real Estate was starting to get pretty big. On one of their albums, they talk about that house and Bottom Bracket and Drew and all of that. I mean, it was just a weird, funky slice of life thing. Now, what I find amazing is that the band broke up, right? And Nirvana, things happened with Nirvana. And I think the drummer of Sunny Day Real Estate and some other people from Nirvana, I'm not 100% sure, but I know the drummer and maybe the bassist from Sunny Day Real Estate joined up with a couple other people, and the next thing you know, they're the Foo Fighters. And they're still throwing down right now. It's so funny. It's so Will, the drummer. I indirectly knew that guy because I spent so much time hanging out with Drew in the Bottom Bracket. What a great side story that just popped into my head. So I spent a lot of time as a devoted bicycle commuter. And then, you know, the thing is, Drew, we would do these late night urban rides, you know, like late night urban rides. It'd be three of us just wailing like banshees, industrially ripping through the city late night, having fun. Yeah, it was such a great time. And then, yeah, so there I am now, devoted bicycle, urban commuter, this kind of thing. I ride my bicycle from Seattle to Chicago, just outside of Chicago to my hometown of South Bend, Indiana. It took me 66 days. I went by myself. I camped out most of the time. I got some rides. You know, I spent 7 days biking through Idaho and spent a couple days in Boise, which kind of helped me end up moving here a year later. But yeah, I basically rode my bicycle, one-handed me, rode my bicycle from Seattle to Chicago. Oh, what an amazing experience. Yeah, that Diamondback that I had, that I still have. And then I moved back to Seattle. I worked at World Class Chili, the chili parlor, for maybe another year and a half. And then the next thing you know, a friend of mine needs a roommate in Boise, Idaho. I was ready to leave Seattle. I just show up in Boise. Here I am, Boise, Idaho. And then I do another 5 years. I did 10, 11, 12 years devotedly, full-time bicycle commuter. Didn't own a car. Didn't own a car until I was 33 years old. And in Idaho, that can be a funny thing because once I went for a job interview and the guy asked me if I had a rig, he's like, what kind of car do you have? I said, I don't have a car. I just ride my bike everywhere. And he said, how are you going to make it without a rig? Very Idaho at that time, I guess. But the thing is winters here are much more extreme than winters in Seattle. I mean, it's more flat here, great, but cold, oh my word, and snowy. Wow. So, yeah, that was a real thing, putting down that time. And, yeah, like I said, I just rode my bicycle basically as a bicycle commuter for 10 to 12 years, nonstop, every day, bicycle everywhere. That was my lifestyle. And then in that time frame, a couple, maybe, I don't know, maybe a year after I moved to Boise, my roommate got hit head on by a car, broke his neck. Yeah. And I was talking with some bicycling buddies. The awareness in Boise at that time wasn't great, even though there were a lot of people on bicycles. I kind of thought to myself, I was like, you know what this town needs is a bicycling publication about awareness and safety. And just coolness, you know, just about the swag of bicycling. And the two people I was talking to were like, you know what, we kind of do need something like that here. And then, I don't know, a month later, I started a bicycling publication in Boise, right, called Spoke in Word. Spoke, apostrophe N, apostrophe Word. Spoken Word. It was a Boise's bicycling publication. Awareness, safety, and a couple other things. And it was just really, I think I ran it for almost 2 years. And it was great. It came out once a month and came out every other week. And then it expanded. I delivered, everything was done on bicycle. I had bicycle couriers. I even had this girl writing, she was an illustrator on the side. And she did my comics. The comic strip was called, it was a one-panel comic. It was called Chicken and Fries. And it was great. We had some great stuff. And it was a great publication. I was starting to get some pretty good momentum, but stuff like that can be a little challenging. And then at that time, I acquired my martial arts school, Three Shapes Aikido. And then I moved into the North End, still did a lot of bicycling, didn't own a car. But had a martial arts school. And then eventually my coworker passed away and he willed me his vehicle. I'll do my last podcast in this series of five will be about all the vehicles that were given to me. And yeah, that was one of them. I got one when my dad died, his 1987 Bitchin' Camaro. My uncle gave me a car when I moved to Seattle. Real beater. Datsun B210. Still wish I had that car. Wow. Weird underground following with the Datsuns, especially those, like those older funky models. And then my brother gave me a car, a Ford Dart, I think, funky green. We called it Booger. Yeah, I drove that till it died, maybe 4 months. But yeah, all the cars I've ever owned were given to me up until I was about 44 years old, 45 years old. I just recently bought my first car. Like 5 years ago, I was trying not to buy a car, but anyways, I'll save that for the last podcast in this series. And then, you know, I acquired my martial arts school. Now I have a vehicle. My friend Merlin, who my coworker at work who died, fellow illustrator, he said, you know, you're going to need a vehicle. You got a business. You got to pick people up from the airport. So, you know, in his last will and testament, basically, he just gave me his car. Well, first, he tried to sell it to me for $1 a day. He's like, just pay me $1 a day, pay it off when you can, don't worry about it. But then, I don't know, a month later he passed away and he willed me his car. And then over time I just drove less, I rode my bicycle less and less, and I drove more and more, basically kind of out of necessity, even though at that time I still rode my bicycle a lot, maybe for the first couple of years I owned my martial arts school. But then after a while, no. And then in 2009, the economy crashed. Everything changed. And basically, I've just been riding my bicycle. See, it's 2019. Oh, I don't think I've really ridden my bicycle for about 10 years. And I've been dusting it off. Just not that long ago, I bought tubes and tires. Something, I'm not quite sure what it was, but something inspired me to just start bicycling again. I've been looking at Bike Friday, their folding bikes, and they're 20-inch wheeled bicycles. They're very efficient, but they also fold up into a suitcase, and people have ridden these bicycles around the world. So, you know, I don't know. I just have been inspired to bicycle again. It's great. And this movement towards bicycling is just really astounding, because now here I am looking at frames and forks and, you know, I'm upgrading my bicycle. And I'll tell you what, man, I've had to wipe like 10 years of dust off my bicycle that I rode across the country, that with the frame I have owned since 1989, 1990. I don't want to get rid of it, but I might have to. I don't know how fixable it is. It's all really older gear. It's old steel. It's stout. It's not going anywhere. I might keep it just for like long haul touring bicycle, mostly commuter rag. But I kind of want something new. So I've been looking at old school titanium frames and things like that, and just paying more attention to bicycling and fixing up my bike. And then, here's a funky side story. While I was running Spoken Word, I had a friend in town, Lee Mercer, who was a big bicycling advocate, huge. Basically, I only saw him on a bicycle also. Did some road biking, bicycling, mostly did mountain biking. Him and a bunch of friends were out in the backcountry mountain biking, and they stopped off at this vista, you know, just to look at this beautiful view, and my friend Lee had a heart attack. He died. Basically, he died on his bicycle. And all his friends pretty much wanted me to own it. And they said, Alejandro, we really want you to have this bicycle. We think you should have it. You and Lee had a great relationship. And, you know, we'd like you to give us a donation, whatever you can pay for it. It'd be great. We're trying to pay off some of his debt. And So now I have that just old school mountain bike. So I'm trying to just piece together a new vehicle, like a new bicycle thing. And I've been working on just buying stuff. And it's funny, being out of the bicycle scene for about 15 years, things have changed a lot, you know. And right now everybody's riding fixed gear, single speed, you know, urban city bikes. And the mountain bikes have totally changed. Oh, my word. You know, from like 20 years ago, yeah, they're completely different. And there's a lot I don't know. So I've just been doing more and more research, and I'm looking at these Bike Fridays, and I'm just looking at old school titanium frames, and just trying to figure out what I want. Basically, I just need a commuter ride. You know, I don't do that much off-road bicycling, and I don't need a single speed. That's not really my flavor. Five speeds might be enough, but I don't use a cruiser. But yeah, I've been spending a lot of time looking at parts, and just, you know, it's been great because I grew up this way. It's so amazing. But it's going to be a thing because I haven't really sat on a bicycle for a while. You know, I live like 2 miles from work, and we have a non-motorized vehicle lane called the Green Belt that people walk and bike on. I mean, I should be biking to work every day. It should be no problem. And I also want to be more healthy, and I just miss, you know, I just miss the lifestyle of bicycling, and I want to do it more. So I'm investing some money, I've been saving some money, I'm going to figure out what I'm going to do. You know, I got that old mountain bike back, my brother was using it, and I paid some money to help him get kind of a street ride, urban urban commuter, industrial commuter ride. And I'll probably take some parts off Lee's old bike, that mountain bike, because I don't mountain bike, but. And then just put together something. I don't know, just get an old frame and just get something together right now and just spend more time on my bicycle again. It'd be great. And, you know, my next podcast tomorrow, I'm going to talk about one of the quirks. One of the quirks of riding without two hands, or just this issue. Like, I haven't been able to find my artificial arm, which I basically need to bike with. Because without it, it's just very difficult. It's hard to bike one-handed. I'm very good at it. The trick to biking one-handed is to squeeze the seat between your legs. Spend most of your time standing. That way you have two points of contact, you know. I know a lot of people that were biking with one hand carrying groceries, and now they're missing a tooth. And it's very dangerous to bike one-handed. You gotta really know what you're doing. And take it from a one-handed guy. That's the trick. Stand up, squeeze a seat between your legs, and you'll have much better maneuverability and much more control. But yeah, probably for the last month and a half, I haven't been able to find my artificial arm. And I think that's just hilarious, you know, because I moved. I packed everything up and it went into storage. And then, you know, when I was thinking like, oh, I can't wait to start riding, I was like, oh, shiitake mushrooms. Like, where is my arm? I can't find my arm. So I'll podcast a little bit about that. I got some great stories about losing my arm and just dealing with that kind of stuff. But it's been fun. It's been fun. I'm really excited. I feel like a little kid about to get a bicycle for Christmas. And just looking forward to change my lifestyle a little bit and spend a little more time on a bicycle. And I have great bicycling history, so it's going to be really cool. I want to get a little more involved into the bicycle community again here in Boise. At one time, I was on the cutting edge of it, but not lately. And it'll be nice to connect. I want to support the Boise Bicycle Project a bit and maybe do some other cool bicycling stuff here in town. And we'll see. But you know what? First things first, let me get my original bike rolling. It's all covered with stickers. It looks so old school. You know what I want to do is take it apart, sandblast it, and paint it. I'm trying to decide whether or not I want to keep that frame or not. I can't decide. I can't decide right now. But what I can do is blow all the dust off that thing and get some tri-flow in there and get everything working and tune my brakes. And, you know, I got new tubes and liners and I'm ready to roll. Like, all I got to do is get everything going and I'm back on my bicycle. And that, basically, that's what I want because that's the name of the podcast, Getting Back on My Bicycle. So I'll let you know how it goes, my friends. I'll let you know how it flows. And with that, be safe, be well, and do more good things. Hey, thanks for tuning in. This is Alejandro with One Hand Speaks. Find me online at onehandspeaks.com and all your social media outlets.